In today's news headlines, the U.S. economy added 916,000 new jobs in March as per the latest employment figures from the Labor Department. The number is a healthy one, indicating that in spite of the jobless claims remaining high, there are new jobs being created. A reporter asked President Joe Biden about the new figures in a press briefing on Friday morning.
How much credit are you taking for today's number?
I'm giving credit to the American people.
Meanwhile, the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy released a report showing that, quote, at least 55 of the largest corporations in America paid no federal corporate income taxes in their most recent fiscal year, despite enjoying substantial pre-tax profits in the United States. These include Archer Daniels Midland, FedEx, and Nike. The Guardian newspaper also released a study showing how fossil fuel companies raked in billions of dollars of tax breaks from the U.S. government, even as they laid off thousands of workers during the pandemic. A whopping 58,000 people, or 16% of the fossil fuel industry's workforce, was laid off. Yet another report published by a conservative think tank found that corporations are increasingly pouring their profits into paying off wealthy shareholders instead of investing in long-term growth, a trend that is affecting the stability of the market as a whole. President Biden is busy promoting his new American Jobs Plan as a long-term solution to stabilizing the nation's economy while addressing inequality and climate change. At his Friday press conference, he explained how the majority of jobs would be well-paying, blue-collar jobs.
The benefits and the impact of the American Rescue Plan are temporary by design. It is a rescue plan. But as we get the economy back on its feet, we need to do the hard work of building back better for good, for not just for a while, but for good, not just the short term, but for good. Independent analysis shows that if we pass this plan, the economy will create 19 million jobs, good jobs, blue collar jobs, jobs that pay well. That's long term jobs for pipe fitters, healthcare workers, those who work in the steel factories and the cutting-edge labs as well. The new report out this week shows that nearly 90% of the infrastructure jobs created in the American Jobs Plan can be filled by people who don't have a college degree.
That's President Joe Biden speaking on Friday to the press. Although Republican lawmakers have already made clear they want nothing to do with passing Democratic-led measures, Biden is appealing to Republican voters instead. The New York Times explained, quote, Mr. Biden and his allies on Capitol Hill are barreling ahead with unapologetically bold, expensive measures, betting that they can build bipartisanship from voters nationwide rather than from elected officials in Washington. Still, progressives who have been pushing the Biden administration to be exactly that, bold and unapologetic, are criticizing the size of his infrastructure plan, saying it's too small, and are instead pushing the Thrive Act, a $10 trillion 10-year plan. Washington Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal worried that Democrats might water down even the modest American Jobs Plan to appease Republican lawmakers. She tweeted, "Let's not water down a bill for a party that's not actually interested in bipartisanship, or wait for Republicans to have some awakening on climate change." The Minneapolis trial of Derek Chauvin for the murder of George Floyd will focus Friday on Floyd's struggles with addiction. Traditionally, police have used drug addiction as a means of justifying police killings of people of color. But in the case of Floyd's killing, the prosecution seems to be appropriating the narrative to make the case that although Mr. Floyd had significant levels of opiates in his bloodstream, he had a high tolerance for them given his long-term addiction, and that he did not therefore die from a drug overdose, as the defense is suggesting. Earlier in the week, Floyd's former girlfriend, Courtney Ross, who is white, revealed that both she and Floyd struggled with opioid addiction for years. And changing American attitudes toward drug addiction led even the defense lawyer to say to Ms. Ross, quote, I'm sorry to hear about your struggles with opioid addiction. Thank you for sharing that with the jury. Meanwhile, Minneapolis Police Chief Medaria Arredondo is on the list of the prosecution's witnesses, an extremely rare and perhaps unprecedented occurrence for a police chief to testify against a police officer in such a case. A retired police officer, Sergeant David Ploger, testified that Chauvin ought to have stopped restraining Floyd as soon as he was subdued.
What is your view of that use of force during that time period?
Totally unnecessary.
What do you mean?
Pulling him down to the ground, face down, and putting your knee on the neck for that amount of time. I saw no reason why the officers felt they were in danger, if that's what they felt. And that's what they would have to feel to be able to use that kind of force.
So, in your opinion, should that restraint have stopped once he was handcuffed and prone on the ground?
Absolutely.
That's the voice of a retired officer testifying in the Derek Chauvin trial. Two other unrelated incidents of police brutality are now in the news. Seven correctional officers have been fired in connection to the in-custody death of a 26-year-old black man named Marvin Scott III in Allen, Texas last month. Mr. Scott was arrested over marijuana possession of less than 2 ounces of a drug that's now legal in over a dozen states. Hours later, he was dead in jail after being violently pepper sprayed and a hood thrown over his head. In Chicago, there are increasing calls for the release of a body camera footage in an incident involving the fatal police shooting of a 13-year-old boy named Edgar Toledo. Backlash is growing against Georgia's newly passed anti-voter bills as numerous high-profile corporations with headquarters in the state are speaking out, including Coca-Cola and Delta Airlines. The For the People Act that the House of Representatives just passed would upend such bills in states across the nation where Republicans are attempting to restrict voting in order to maintain political power. Representative Jim Clyburn slammed West Virginia Senate Democrat Joe Manchin over his lack of enthusiasm to take the bill up in the Senate. Clyburn said he was insulted by Manchin's decision to become the only Democrat in the Senate to not sponsor the bill. The Justice Department's inquiry into GOP Congressman and ardent Donald Trump loyalist Matt Gaetz appears to become more and more bizarre. The New York Times published new details showing that Gaetz paid cash to multiple women using digital payment apps in exchange for sex. According to the report, quote, investigators believe Joel Greenberg, the former tax collector in Seminole County, Florida, who was indicted last year on a federal sex trafficking charge and other crimes, initially met the women through websites that connect people who go on dates in exchange for gifts, fine dining, travel, and allowances. According to three people with knowledge of the encounters, Mr. Greenberg introduced the women to Mr. Gaetz, who also had sex with them, the people said. CNN is now reporting that Gaetz would show nude photos and videos of women he had slept with to other lawmakers. Finally, even as vaccination rates against the COVID-19 virus are accelerating in the U.S., new cases of infection have climbed. There were more than 78,000 new cases in the U.S. on Thursday alone, in a very troubling sign that we are facing yet another surge. And the CDC has just issued new guidance saying that fully vaccinated people can travel safely within the United States without needing to get tested before or after, and nor do they need to self-quarantine. They should still follow basic safety precautions while traveling, however, such as mask wearing, social distancing, and hand washing. And that does it for today's headlines.